Well, good morning, you absolutely amazing All-Stars. This is Melinda Balling in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I want to congratulate each of you this morning for qualifying to participate in this very special teleconference. And as you may know, you are among the movers and shakers and power players in your units. And the All-Stars call is hosted by six future national sales directors and is presented exclusively for the qualifying members in each future national area. And there are two ways to receive an invitation to be on this call. You can qualify with a $600 wholesale order in the preceding month, or, of course, with the new team member, qualified team member. And I bet you several of you have done both. So you're off to a great start for the new year, hearing this really dynamic woman speak and share with you. She's just really one of the most brilliant people in Mary Kay, and I mean that sincerely. And Connie has actually been in Mary Kay since 1980. So that is really great. And like myself, she was trained pretty much at the feet of Mary Kay and the nationals that were in that inner circle at the time that Mary Kay was with us. So she has great Mary Kay spirit and heart and knowledge firsthand. And she became a director very quickly in 1981. She's a former special ed teacher and has an MS degree, master's degree, of course, in curriculum and instruction. She won her first Cadillac in September of 82, and, of course, she's won many, many more after that. She's been in the National Court of Sales 15 times, and she's been in various unit clubs, well, actually 25 times. She's in her 31 years of Mary Kay. She's been in a unit club 25-plus times. And 18 of those times have been in the prestigious half a million and above into the Circle of Excellence. She's won lots of prizes, Oriental rugs, an office package, computer and copier, a trip to Aruba with her children, and 3 4-carat diamond rings, as well as the fact that she's been a star consultant 113 times. Oh, my gosh, that is just fabulous. She and her husband, Ray, and Ray is wonderful, have enjoyed 13 top director trips to Hong Kong, twice to Switzerland, Alaskan cruise in Vancouver, to Scotland and Ireland, Vienna, Austria, Rome and Florence, Hawaii, a Mediterranean cruise, Spain, Stockholm, Sweden, Germany, all compliments of Mary Kay. Pretty soon we have to be talking about where they haven't been. She's currently an elite executive senior sales director with 8 terrific first-line offspring directors, 3 second-line offspring, and 1 third-line. And her very, very favorite thing about the company is the flexibility of time it allows, as well as the positive support the women show each other. And, of course, raising 3 children and having a husband, Connie certainly needed something that was flexible. And so I can see that's why it's one of her favorite things. Of course, she's received the prestigious Diamond Monthly Miss Go Give Award, and that was in August of 99. And her highest commission check was just a tad under $17,000 for 1 month. Yes, 1 month, and as you know, that doesn't include her personal sales. And she's the daughter, she's the mother of 3 daughters, Raina, 31, Dina, 29, and Mia, 14, and 2 grandchildren, Anna, 2.5, and Michael, who is only 4 weeks old. How exciting, Connie. And, of course, she's the wife of the very supportive, and we have to underline very supportive because he totally is, Ray. And she's from the Karen Pirro National Area. So without further ado, this morning I would love to, and it is my honor to present to you Elite Executive Senior Sales Director Connie Russo. So, Connie, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us this morning.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well, good morning, everybody, and congratulations for being on the call, and Happy New Year. And, you know, it's so awesome in Mary Kay. One of the best things is that we get to start over many times, and this is one of the biggest many times we get to start over. It's the first day of the year almost, so it's about 9 days into it. So that we're still at the beginning of the year so that you can really get yourself planned out so you know where you're headed and where you're going to be by the end of next June. As Melinda said, I've been in Mary Kay a long time. I used to take a lot of classes in teaching and education. I still enjoy that. I love to read books about it. And I recently developed a course at Penn State, and we had to have a class that could be pretty much generic and be taught to different groups. But of mine, of course, was I couldn't get away from Mary Kay. And so we developed this course on goals for, and it's for, of course, geared toward Mary Kay people. But it's a lot of, let me put it this way, it's a lot of underlying real research information about goal setting that's intertwined in it. I recently did it at a workshop with about 50 people, and it turned out well, but it was using PowerPoint slides and a lot of group activities, and it was about 4 hours long. So we are going to condense the content, if we can, into this call, and so I appreciate you listening. First of all, we never in our group spent an all-day session on goal setting. We usually do it at a workshop, and we would spend like, you know, a class or two on it. But this purpose of this was to get you to think about the way you're setting goals and maybe why they're not working or haven't worked in the past. And so that's kind of why it took more than a one-class session. We are going to be looking at today, after we do an introduction to establish whether we really think goals are important or not, which I'm sure you do, that a little bit why and who else thinks they're important. We're going to look at how we think about goals and to check on the way our thoughts are. Are our thoughts interfering at all? Are they supportive of our goals and so forth? And we're also going to talk about how goals are broken down and why long-term, short-term, how you do that, and what might help or hinder our achieving our goals. And we will try to get through a lot of that stuff. So it'll be great. Well, you know what? I actually made the title of the program be called The Places You'll Goal, you know, and that's a Dr. Seuss book. And he says, and that's a book that is given to graduates. And we're all just graduating. We graduated from the year 2010 to 11. So we're going into the next grade or the next year. And the title of Dr. Seuss's book is The Places You'll Go. And it's a book that says, congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, and you're off and away. And he goes on and talks about all the different things. You have choices. It's up to you. You're going to run into this. You're going to run into that. But you're going to change direction and you're so forth. So I recommend it. It's a great gift to anybody who graduates or just for yourself. Get it for yourself, and then when somebody comes along and you need to give it as a gift, then you'll have it ready. So it's really a kind of a cool thing. Okay, you're here or on this call today because you do think goals are important, and we're going to talk about that. We had everybody the day of the workshop, we had everybody in groups come up with a list, a big chart paper, of goals versus no goals. Why, if you have goals, what happens? If you have no goals, what happens? And I just want to summarize some of the things that the consultant groups came up with. What they said, when we have goals, we have focus, we have direction, we have something to look forward to, we have a way to chart our success, we're excited, we have a dream in our heart, we have self-satisfaction, we have the chance to earn prizes and make money, we have confidence, we're happy, and we're focused, and we're excited. However, when we don't set a goal or we have nothing as a goal in front of us, we don't have focus. We have another excuse to fail. We have another excuse to be lazy. We probably won't get anywhere. We're not motivated. We procrastinate. We get depressed, which is the worst thing. We don't have any money, which is another reason you get depressed. We don't have direction. We don't have any pride. We don't know where we're going. We feel lost, distracted, bored, and frustrated. So that is the difference between having goals and not having goals. Okay, so right there, if somebody wanted to give you something every day and said, here, just take this vitamin or take this pill every day where you're going to be excited and have a sense of purpose and you're going to do this and that, and if you don't take it, you're going to be depressed, frustrated, bored, distracted, lost, of course you're going to get up and take it. So, you know, this is just common sense, but we had it laid out, and I just kind of quickly told you where you might want to stop, and if you listen to a recording of this, you might be able to stop and actually think of what times in your life when you had no goals and goals. So that's important, and we're not the only ones, though, and Mary Kay, as consultants and directors, that think it's important. You've all heard of John Maxwell, the speaker. He's almost everything, all his writings, all his books have something to do with goals. He says that goals create a route for success. They show you what to do. They give you go. They create mile markers so you can tell where you are on the way. They give you a sense of purpose, a sense of self-control, satisfaction, and competence. He's an expert. And also, you probably heard about this, but the Harvard MBAs, there was a study done. Now, to get into the Harvard MBA major, you have to be pretty tip-top anyway. They only admit about 15% of the people who actually apply to it. So these are people that would be pretty successful in life whether they went to Harvard or not. But they get into Harvard, and they said that 3% of the Harvard MBAs made more than 10 times as much as the other 97%. And they said, why was that? So of the people that were admitted to Harvard when they did this study to this MBA program, they found that of those people, 84% of the people who got admitted had no goal. 13% had goals, and 3% had goals that they wrote down. So of this huge mass of people in the United States, some people get into Harvard, then some people want to get an MBA, and of those applicants, only 15% get in, and of that tippy top 15%, only 3% actually, they make 10 times more than others. This is something to do is they found the difference between them and everybody else is the fact that they wrote goals down. So if that, for any reason right there, we need to write goals. We need to write them down. It's not just writing them down, though. They need to be broken down properly so that we can work on them, and that's something we'll look at later. The whole company in Mary Kay is one big goal-setting Christmas tree. Let's put it that way. You get to pick any gift underneath a tree. You can break it down and work for it. We have National Court of Sales prizes. We did not get the new booklet yet. I think I saw them in the applause, though. They're gorgeous things that you work towards, and it's not just the prize you're going to work for, though. It's a lot of other benefits you get. The whole Mary Kay career path is a goal-setting type of a thing, much more clear than when I was a teacher, and if I wanted to move up, I don't know what up a position would be except to be principal and get a lot more headaches and things like that, but the movement in other jobs is not as clear. Mary Kay is clear as a bell. And so we have all this in front of us. We have that brochure that outlines the career path. We have the advance online. We have everything in front of us. We have our director. We have our national breaking everything down. But then we think, what goes wrong? What happens? And we talked about that at the workshop. And what interferes with goals? And it's sometimes it can be illness. It can be the fact that we procrastinate. And maybe we are working on a goal that, of course, depends on a lot of appointments. We have too many cancellations. But the overwhelming thing, I think, that people said from the consultants to us as directors at that workshop was life and other people getting you refocused. You might have a workshop and you'll get all focused, or you come home from seminar, you're all focused. You come home and Johnny breaks his arm and Susie does this and husband wants that and so forth. And people refocus us. So we have to figure out a way to plan ahead and think about all those things and not to get refocused. And they also said drama, which kind of goes along with that. And personally, I'm not sure if we really clearly set goals. I think we need to be like the 3% of the Harvard MBAs who not only wrote them down but really planned them out. So we'll be talking about them. Another justification, of course, for goals is Mary Kay herself. And if you pick up her books and go in the index or somewhere, just look at the sections on goals. But one of the most important things Mary Kay said was having a purpose is so important to your life that you must cherish your goal and give it priority. She says cherish your goal. Not only write it and put it away or it's in your notebook. Where is my seminar notebook? Where did I write that? I think I set a goal, and here's this to my director. It's she says cherish it. When you cherish something, you don't put it away and you never think about it. You might protect it or you might be, but you think about it and you really appreciate it and you honor it and so forth. So honor it by what I mean by that is taking care of it and really working towards achieving it. So goals are important. Okay, so we got that. So let's just know that, and I think you already did, but I just wanted to tell you that we're not the only ones, but it's a big deal. The rest of what I'm talking about, though, the main part of it is what we think about goals. And I don't know if you realize this, that when you think about goals, you're talking to yourself about them. And research shows that what we believe about goal setting and motivation has a direct effect on whether we achieve or not. And so what we're going to talk about is our thoughts about our goals. This sounds like it's going to get heavy and deep, but it's kind of important. And because we can have things that get in our way, that we can have a goal and then we think about it and then we don't do it and we think, what's going on here? But let's think about areas we've set goals for first. First of all, we have goals that maybe for schooling, for ourselves, for our kids, for our family, of course, for Mary Kay, or work, our personal fitness, and so forth. So one of the things I had the consultants do at the workshop, and you might want to do, in fact, you need some paper. Make sure you have paper available to you right now. So that you can, and I won't give you time now because I don't want to pause right now on the call, but you could listen to it again. But you want to make or sit down and write between 1 and 3 goals that you've had or you have right now. And you would probably, they don't necessarily have to be Mary Kay, because I think all family goals, especially money goals, can be met through Mary Kay. So you're going to do some kind of combination. But write down a couple goals that you have and why you want them. For example, you want to earn the use of a Mary Kay car. What is your reason for that? What is your real deep reason for earning a Mary Kay car? The Malibu, for example, or the money or the cash, instead. There are things you could get out of that. You can get commissions because if by earning a car, you're also going to have a team that you're going to have an extra $400 or $500 a month in commissions. You have not a car payment then. You're going to have a nice team of people you're going to be working with. You're going to have status, and you'll get recognized. What is your reason and what is the real driving reason to push you over the finish line to earn that car, if that's a goal? So you can know what I'm thinking about. What I want you to do is think of a goal or two or three that you have and what the outcomes you expect. When you think about a goal, you're going to think now, like I just said, what am I going to get out of this? Why would I bother? Because it's going to take effort and consistent work, okay? And when we have a goal that we're working towards, you want to think, what am I going to get out of this? Do I really want it? Can I do it? Do I know how to do it? And so forth. So all these things are going to go through your head. These thoughts that we have about goals, I've just named them secrets. Okay, I'm naming them goal secrets because they're kind of like kept to ourselves, not that we mean to, but there's things that we don't really talk about. So what we're going to take is the secrets and thoughts that we have about goals, and you can think about a goal that you have and see if it's something that would help you clarify the way you're thinking. For example, secret number one about goals is, why am I doing this? Why do I want it? And researchers have looked at this in all different ways. A student might have a goal of getting a really good report card. Somebody else might have a goal of moving to a certain position in a job. You might have a goal of doing XYZ. Okay, why are you doing this? Well, they have mostly separated this into two types of goals. There are what we call, and I'm going to explain this a couple different ways, learning goals and performance goals. Learning goals are goals that you have, and what you expect to get out of them is mastery of skill, to get better at something. A performance goal is when your desire is to look good in front of people. Now, I know that second one doesn't sound so great, but it's okay, because in Mary Kay, the directors or cons in the company were telling you, get the car. You are going to look great in that car. You are going to be recognized and respected by your peers. you are, you know, get that diamond ring and so forth and get up front and so forth like that. So what I'm kind of saying is there are learning goals and performance goals, but one isn't necessarily really bad and one isn't necessarily really good. However, when we think and subconsciously or whatever, I'm doing this only for the external recognition and what I'm going to get because of people looking at me and thinking I'm wonderful, that is going to last for the time being. But once the goal is over, or once you possibly drop out of the goal, you're totally demotivated, okay? And that is not what your director wants. We want you to sustain, to keep at it, because that you will. Keeping at it will get you anywhere. Giving up will get you nowhere. It might have gotten you one little thing, but you're boom, you're done, and you're gone. So we want to focus on what we call learning goals more than performance goals, or have them both at the same time. Another way of looking at this is what they let me mention this. When you think of Scarecrow in the fourth or in the Wizard of Oz, Scarecrow wanted a brain. And did he want a brain because he wanted to be a good learner and thinker? Or did he want a brain so that he could be given a diploma in front of his friends, Dorothy and the Lion and everything, and get a lot of applause? And it's hard. You can look at the what was in that movie, and you can see that he did really want a brain. Not that if you didn't have a brain, you wouldn't even know that you didn't have one, I guess. But anyway, but that's kind of an example. Do you think that he would be thinking about, I guess, using the brain for mastering skills and learning and teaching, or was it just that? And I don't know. Let's say it's both, and that's good, because then he gets the recognition, and he does get the recognition and the diploma, and let's hope that he continued on and persisted and used what he had and went forward. I know that's a kind of maybe a great example, but it's kind of trying to just break it down for you. And the other way of looking at it is some people think about them is intrinsic and extrinsic rewards. When you have intrinsic motivation or intrinsic rewards, the motivation's coming within you, and it's very driving. When you have extrinsic rewards or an extrinsic goal, motivation is coming from outside. It's similar. It's not exactly, but for our purposes, it's very much like a learning goal and a performance goal. So these are really important. Okay, let me just go back. And what I'm saying is not that you shouldn't have performance goals or external motivation and so forth, but that's not what's really important. Let's say that your goal is to do 100 faces in 100 days or 3 months, 100 faces in 3 months. And you're really, really, because at the end of that 100 days, there's going to be this big celebration and people will be recognized at some event or whatever. And you're focusing on that and you're really excited about that. And however, maybe some cancellations come up and you feel like you're falling behind and you think you're not going to be recognized at the end of that 3 month period. You may quit. You may quit in the middle. You may not reach the end of the 3 months and so forth. However, if you're looking at this as an opportunity to be not only recognized at the 100-face event, which is okay, let's look at it this way. You're probably going to sell between $5,000 and $8,000 based on your face average if you do it. So that's good. And what does that mean? That means you can buy a lot of kids' sneakers or whatever it is you need to do. The other thing, you do 100 faces in 100 days, you will be a master at booking, at coaching, at foundations, and at closing, and all that. So if you look at the benefits of what you're going to get in personal growth and business growth on the inside, as well as, because let's say you end up with 91 faces, and you don't get the recognition at the end, at the big party, or whatever it is, my goodness, 91 faces, you are a master. And so that's kind of what you think. You get up every morning, And what you do in Mary Kay is you think, what am I getting out of this? And you do need to have both external, and in fact, they found, researchers at DC and Ryan in Rochester found out, when you have both learning and performance goals, you will keep working on it. So you want to think about the seminar court of sales ring, and you think, every day I want to jump out and I want to win this ring that I think is so gorgeous. But there's some days you know you're doing it because you're helping other people. You're sitting across from someone and you're making their day because you're taking time. You're sincerely and honestly complimenting them and so forth, and you're getting a lot of internal rewards because, you know what, that ring is great, whichever ring you choose, or the diamond bumblebee for the court of sharing and all that. Those are great, but the most important thing is, it's, you know, is to realize those are symbols only of really the personal growth that you got inside and that you helped other people by helping other people and by sharing the product and learning the business. It really is a symbol. It's a great symbol to wear. Beautiful diamond rings, who cares? I mean, who wouldn't want them? So anyway, that's secret number one, not really verbalizing why or what you're getting. Because let me tell you one other thing. I've had consultants who've been red jackets. And they've lost a consultant, and they never come to another meeting because for some reason that red jacket position was so important to them only, they didn't realize that some people may, you know, the ladder of success in Mary Kay is not a stepping ladder. It's a spiral. If you could take a slinky and stretch it up the ladder, you would see that it's, you go up a step, go back two. You go up two and go back one. You go up three and you might be on target for the car 1 month and then you're not the next. So you somehow, sometimes directors, we miss explaining that to people, but I'm telling you today that it's not a stepping ladder. It's more like going into a fun house and the floor is moving up and down. It's more like that, and it feels like that, which is kind of weird if you don't know to expect that. So what you want to do is know that you will step up and then you will step down. But what I'm saying about this person, I have a couple in particular I'm thinking of who became a red jacket, and it was such an important big deal. When she lost a recruit, she felt that everyone, because she was only focusing on other people, what they thought would be, she was humiliated. And that is not the way. Hey, ask a director. Directors have wiggle legs because they've been up and down so much. I mean, they are masters. And in fact, if there's a director who's not, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a director who hasn't moved up and backwards, and they keep going strong because apparently they must be getting something really important from inside from this company to stick with the fact that you're going up a slinky back and forth to be able to stick with it and not give up. So don't ever do that. Here's another example. You're a brand new consultant, and you're so excited because you get your first team member. You get your first team member, you're all excited, she quits the next day. So you feel like you're a big failure because, see, you're brand new. You don't know the slinky thing. You don't know the spiral thing. So you back out. You don't come to training again, or you don't get on your training calls, or you don't come to the meeting. And I'd say, I'm just telling you all ahead of time, that's something that we get excited about. We do want to applaud you, but it's a process of learning. In other words, I say that you would probably want on a scale like of 100%, about 70% to be learning goals and about 30% performance based, so that you never, ever give up. Okay, that's what we want. So you can think about a person getting grades, you know, and I had a PowerPoint slide here that, you know, a person getting grades, is it only to please the parents or is it because of the love of learning? You don't want your kids only to be pleasing you. You want them to develop skills, learning skills, study skills, so that it'll take them through the rest of their life, not constantly looking over their shoulder to see if their parents are approving and all that. Okay, that was secret number one. What am I getting out of it? Number two, is this my goal? You have a goal. Is it your goal, or is it your director's goal, your recruiter's goal? Is it your husband or family goal? Is it your parents' goal? Is it the company goal? It has to be a goal that fits what you want. So one of the things I had consultants do, let's say, well, I didn't do it this way, but let's pretend you take you into a candy store. And I say, you can pick any piece of any candy you want, and you're going to, you can eat it, okay? And you might say, I don't like candy, or I can't eat candy. I'll say, oh, no, 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 you must eat candy. So, first of all, I'm bossing you around, and I'm saying you have to do this candy goal. However, what if I just took M&Ms, and I said, okay, everybody, here's your M&Ms. This is what you're eating. And you might be perfectly happy. M&Ms is your thing. You like candy, and you're just all happy. However, your person next to you might not be so happy. She wanted a Milky Way bar or something like that. And so right there, when they can survive it, and I would say 99% of the United States is eating a candy bar they don't really want because that's the nature of their job. But you can make this Mary Kay career, Mary Kay job, be your candy you choose, because what you're going to get out of it is really what it is about, what that inside personal growth or the family goal or going to Disney or whatever it is. And the other thing is, if I had you open the candy bag and I said you can only eat red first and green second or whatever they have, and different colors, that's a sense. So when you have a lot of no choice involved, it's a lot of negativity. It's a lot of stress because there's a lot of control coming from someone else. So you want to think, is this my goal and am I in charge of it? Now, your director is your guide to make sure that your candy eating is done in a way that's going to get the food eaten, and so that she is your bounce back, she's your feedback person. So it's not that you have to do everything exactly the way we do it. However, you want to show to her, though, I'm not saying don't reinvent the wheel and change everything and expect to get 20 recruits by doing no classes and things like that. There are certain rules you find, but you have a lot of freedom of choice of goal and persistence in this company, and you want to take advantage of that. And deadlines can be negative and scary, by the way, and they can be very controlling. And we do have deadlines in Mary Kay. However, it doesn't have to be that way. We know that our deadline for this year is next June 30th. And we don't want to wait till June 1st of next year to really get depressed and anxious and things like that we're not meeting our goal. So that's the whole purpose of a year-long goal plan, and you break it down so that your deadlines are little mini deadlines throughout the year and not some big, scary, controlling thing. Another thing that is sort of like choice is, are you interested in it? Is it of value to you? If I gave you a $100 bill and a $1 bill, okay, or I actually had them hold them kind of a copy of one at the meeting or at the workshop we did, and let's just so you could visualize it. But let's say you're walking down the street and you see it down inside a sewer grate or something like that, and the grate is maybe too far for you to reach, but like you could probably put something down there. If there was a $100 bill down there, would you reach for it? Would you reach for it if it would be a $1 bill? It's, in other words, how important is this goal for you? If it's not of value, first of all, did you choose it? Secondly, is it even that important to you? If not, you're not going to reach for it, especially if you're all dressed up for your class and you have your little skirt on and your white blouse and your beauty coat and all that kind of stuff. You are not going to get down and get all dirty. However, you might get somebody to help you, but how big does that bill have to be for you to go out of your way to stretch for it? So that's really important as far as goals go. Are they valuable to you? This other secret, which is secret number one was, what am I getting out of it? Is it learning or performance? Number two, is this my goal? Is it your choice? Not secret number three, are you interested in it or value it? Do you value the goal? Secret number four is, beware of negative competition. Now, it's fun to be number one in sales at the meeting. I hope you are. It's actually fun to be number two if you're $1,000 a week and a $999 a week. That's fun. That's great. And it's fun to be a winner. And it's super fun to be a part of a winning unit. I mean, that's awesome. And that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about competition with somebody in a negative way that causes you to focus not on the internal rewards and the value, but on only that other person. Now, you kind of in the finish line, you want to beat, you know, but in Mary Kay, you know what, there's no reason for us to be negatively competitive. It's just one of the studies that came out that said super negative competition is demotivating. But see, in Mary Kay, do you really have to compete to be the car winner of, you know, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Of course not. Mary Kay's the company will gladly give every consultant a car. They will gladly give every director a trip to Hawaii or wherever we're going to go in the future and all that. So it's no reason to have any focus negatively on beating another person. I know that's not a common thing in Mary Kay, but it is in a lot of other positions and jobs and things like that. So you don't want that. Secret number five, this is extremely important, is, okay, yes, I know what I'm going to get out of it. It's my goal. I'm interested in it. Do I know the steps? Secret number five, do I know the steps of this goal? Okay, I want to, because you could say, I want to win a car. And then you're like, okay, do you really know the details? Do you really know what that means? What do you have to do? How do you have to break it down? If you don't, okay, this is the other example. You are in, okay, so a lot of you are in New Mexico. You're in New Mexico, and you want to come to Altoona, Pennsylvania. You think, that's my goal. Are you really going to do that without any GPS, without any map? You may, but most people would not. You know what you would do? If I said, okay, go there, but don't have any steps, don't know the steps, you know what you would do? You would sit in your house, and you would be frozen. That's what happens. We say we want a goal, and then we're looking around, and don't even know this, but we're waiting for a GPS to, like, start talking to us, like OnStar. And we have to find them, find the directions, find the steps. And here is what we need. We need to know what's needed to reach the goal, the steps involved, can you break it down? Are you clear on what to do first or next? And what are the short and long-term goals that build up to this big, long trip that you're going to make? Okay, so that's a secret that you subconsciously have to know in your heart. That's another form of control, by the way. It's called perceived control. And if you have perceived control of a task, you will be motivated to do it. If you don't have perceived control, and you, for example, graduate students trying to finish their PhD do not finish it sometimes because they really don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do next? I don't know the steps. And so it all has to be mapped out. It's not just for Mary Kay people. This next secret is called competence. Okay, now, so what? We know the goal. We know how to get from New Mexico to Pennsylvania. We know that we have OnStar. We have GPS. We have maps. We got triptychs, whatever they have. We got all this stuff. However, are you able to do it? Are you able to do it? Do you need additional support? Are you willing to take the steps? And do you know where to get feedback? Okay, now this is what I'm saying. You may know the route, but your car is a junker. You are scared to take your car. You need a different car. In other words, you want the car in Mary Kay, for example. Now we're back to cars. Or you want to achieve National Court of Sales or National Court of whatever. But you're thinking, I don't know. I just don't feel like I'm selling enough basic skincares. I don't feel like am I closing strong enough. So you, after you figure out all the steps, because that's what you did in the last one, are you competent? Let's beef up your competence real quick. In fact, your competence will be improved as you start going, but don't think you're going to use a skills that didn't work before and never improve on them. We're constantly improving our skills, and you have to be getting feedback on the way. If you're going to take this long road trip with a car, you are not going to just jump in the car and keep going. You are going to confirm that the sign says this way to Pittsburgh or this way to whatever matches what the GPS is saying. I just give you a little example. this lady, I was going somewhere from North Carolina the other day, and I wanted to go north, so I hit GPS, and I asked for Bedford, Pennsylvania, to go north. And the lady kept saying, you need to turn around and go south. I said, why would I go south? Pennsylvania is above Virginia or whatever. And after I went on and on with OnStar, kept telling me it just didn't fit in my head. I wanted OnStar, but it didn't match. And she said, oh, Bedford, Pennsylvania. I thought Bedford, Virginia or whatever. So she had me going the opposite way. So in other words, you are working towards your goal, and you need to tell your director, is this working or is this making – yes, that's normal, she'll say, or no, let's see. Let's go off – let's change our direction. So that's what you're doing when you're doing a goal in Mary Kay. Your OnStar person that you're talking to is your director, and you're getting feedback. So that's your secret number six. Secret number seven is challenge. Is your goal challenging enough? Think of little, what's her name, Goldilocks. She went to eat the porridge. It was too cold. She didn't want it. It was too hot. She wouldn't dare. But it was just right. So a goal that's too easy is boring, and you won't do it. A goal that's too hard, you won't try it because you will think you're going to fail, so why bother? But if a goal, it's called challenging. A challenging goal is a notch above what you're able to do without, you know, you need to exert some effort to do something that's challenging. And it's just right, and it's very, very motivating. So there's a motivating step, there's a motivating level of goal that you can get, and so you want to make sure it's challenging. And the last secret about goals is success and failure. What do you say about that? When you have a goal and you don't make it, or let's go back to your original goals that you have and you're thinking, I want to win the car in Mary Kay. I want to win the Malibu in 3 to 4 months or whatever. Okay. And let's think that would be July, August, September, and October at the latest. Okay, at the end of October, I will have a car or I won't have a car from Mary Kay or use of a car. And let's just imagine, I just want you to think here, if you don't win, if you don't earn the car, why did that happen? What was the reason? If you don't achieve a goal that you set out for yourself, what is the reason? This is extremely important because if you think one thing, you will never work on a car again. You may even quit Mary Kay. If you think another way, you're just going to revamp and go at it again. For example, if you think that you didn't win, this is, I'm going to kind of skip over some stuff because this is roll. I'll just tell you the punchline on this. When you have a goal and you're thinking, I'm not going to make it, and you attribute the success or failure, the failure, for example, I'm just not cut out for this. In other words, if you say that failure is because you are a big loser, you're not capable, I can't do this, you may quit. You may not do this, but that's not what you want to think. Here's what you want to think. I didn't work. I didn't try hard enough. Or I need to improve my skills so that I have whatever recruiting skills or interviewing. I'm going to talk to my director and tell her what I say and revamp my skills. In other words, if you take responsibility and blame it on the inside of your, not your ability, like I was born incapable, but you blame it on yourself that I didn't try hard enough, I watched too much TV, I need to polish my skills, I need to get a little bit more organized, whatever, that you can control. It's all about control by you. You will win a car. It might not be by October, maybe, but it will happen. If you take charge, that's a real simplistic way. You take charge or you blame it on the fact that you have no control, you're not going to try it. So that's extremely important. It's called locus of control. And another thing you could blame it on is everybody else. Everybody else caused me to do this. My husband, that locus of control is not within your control. My husband, my kids, my this, my that, all these things and that I have no control over. You may not quit, but you may not try that goal again because you think it's not in your control. So the bottom line is you decide, because you have all the steps written out, you know that you thought you were competent and able to do the steps, but maybe now you're reevaluating and you're going to brush up on a few things or practice and make sure you are better at coaching or hosts, whatever. So you're taking charge but not blaming it on the fact that you had bad genetics or whatever and you are born in a certain way that you're not able to achieve or that it's everybody else's fault. It's not. You can do this. Mary Kay set this up that everybody can learn. We all come to Mary Kay at different levels with different parts. By the way, you want to make sure it's selling and product knowledge, booking and team building. There's skills involved with those things, but there's also image that's extremely important. Attitude, the way you act and are around people. And those things are really important that can be constantly improved upon. Okay. You think about the tortoise and the hare. They're tortoise and the hare running, and the rabbit and the turtle. And who wins? The turtle. The tortoise wins, and the hare loses. What does the hare think? The rabbit think, I lost because I'm a bad runner, and I will never run again because I'm a lousy runner. I just can't do it. Or is the rabbit going to say, I lost because I slacked off. I didn't try. I underestimated the task. I didn't have it evaluated right or whatever, and I took a nap. So if the hare takes responsibility for the fact that he didn't win the race, he will win. He bet you he wins next time. And even though the tortoise did get to the finish line and he did it by consistent effort, that rabbit can also do that as well. But anyway, that's it. And I just wanted to mention that, okay, your best goals are goals that are intrinsically valued and more so than the external rewards. They're chosen by you. They're valued. They're interesting to you. They're appropriately challenging. You're able to do them and so forth. Okay, so that's just a little bit of summary. The next part of what we did in the workshop, I'm going to have to just give you a little bit of a breakdown here. You take a goal of what you want to do, and there's two things that you want to do to a goal. For example, here's a goal. I want to get healthy. That's a goal you're thinking. That is really not a goal because it's not really specific enough. Here's a better goal. I want to join a health club, exercise 3 times a week for 30 minutes. That might be a better goal because it's something you could get up and do. Saying every morning, I want to get healthy, puts you into a very, you just won't do it. You probably go eat something you shouldn't be eating, you know. So you want to be specific on your goals. There's a thing called, you can look this up on the internet, but it's called the SMART formula. When you take a goal, it's SMART, and you break it down to a specific, what is it you want to do? For example, I want to complete a power start in July. And M is for measurable, and that what that means is by doing 30 faces. Okay, A is the action. What is the action you're going to do the 30? It's by holding classes and facials or parties and facials. R, let's skip R for a minute in the SMART and go to T, timely. It's in the month of July or it's within a month. R means, when you look it up on the internet for SMART goals, you'll come up with a couple different acronym meanings, I guess, and for this one, is it realistic? Is it relevant? Is it something I want to do? Is it rewarding to me? It's kind of like what we just talked about. So SMART goals are specific, measurable, actionable in a timely manner with they're appropriately relevant to you and rewarding, okay? So we won't have time to really, really break that down, but write those down, and I'll give you a couple examples, okay? For example, National Court of Sales. The specific thing, it's called National Court of Sales. The measurable thing about National Court of Sales is 36,000 retail for the year. And that even adds in when you get bonuses and free product and PCP gifts. So that kind of bumps itself up a little bit, which is nice. The action, how you do that 36,000 retail for the year is, I believe, so this is me, I believe it's by holding classes or parties, facials, and a good reorder business. Now, if you have a different action, that's up to you, and I would talk it over with your director, but I'm sure that's what we're thinking. Let's skip R for a minute in SMART, and the time is in this year, but we have already used 9 days of this year, which is no big deal. But so SMART, the R is it something I want to do? Well, that's up to you. Is it rewarding? Yes, it would be rewarding. It is rewarding. I've done it. is it something like that? So SMART, so it's National Court is the S, measurable is 36,000 retail. The action is holding classes, parties, and facials, reorders. The R is yes, it's relevant to me. T is in a year. Okay, now, this is the tricky part that we want to get started right away. For same thing with National Quarter Sharing. You take it. You can divide this into quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily activity. If you don't, you will put it on your shelf. You will not. You will stick it in a notebook, and you'll find it next month when you pull out your All-Stars Call notebook, and you'll think, oh, yeah, I did set a goal last month. Well, then you've already used up a month of your goal of your year. But quarterly, what does that mean? That means you need 9,000 retail, okay? So we're going to take this 36,000 retail divided by 4 because there are 4 quarters, 9,000 retail. I don't know if it's really for me. That's kind of a quarterly thing, and that's kind of cool because we have the Star Consultant quarter, and it kind of goes with that. But I think the really important one is for doing National Court of Sales is 3,000 retail a month. 1,500 wholesale in the month, and that would be about almost a $400 order every week, okay? 750 retail per week is what you want to sell. When you break this down to do National Court of Sales, it's $750 in sales per week, okay? That's how you get about the $400 order a week. What does $750 retail a week mean? It means about $100 days every day, or $120 days 5-6 days a week, something like that. And if you know that's what it is every day, that's how you can break it down and look at something that's small enough to handle. It's bite size, a daily activity. The other way to look at it, when you look at that was still measuring monthly is 3,000 retail, weekly is, that's still the M in SMART. Let's look at the action for monthly. Monthly to sell 3,000 retail is about, I would say about 40 faces plus some reorders. Okay, that divided by 5 people to class could be 8 classes a month. Or by 4 people to class could be 8 classes and 8 facials. We have a thing in our unit called the Grade 8. And you know what? Consistent Grade 8 looks like it would take you to National Court of Sales. It could. It depends if you have a little, I mean, you'd have to check that and evaluate your reorders and things like that, but it definitely could get you all over the place with this company. So it also breaks down, 40 faces in months breaks down to about 10 faces a week or 2 classes a week, which means I would say 1 or 2 faces a day. So that's doable. How many of you have ever done a $100 day? And many times. How many of you ever facialed one or two people a day? You know what? You have what it takes to do National Court of Sales. You just have to do it every day, and you'll be a happy camper because, you know, you'll be so excited. Let's say National Court of Sharing. National Court of Sharing is 24 for the year. The action is sharing facts about the company and getting people to sign up. The time is in a year, and is this relevant? Oh, my goodness, absolutely, because what would happen with 24 recruits? You would have the choice of being a director. You would have that choice. You would have the choice of choosing a career car, free Malibu, or the money. You would have lots of choices. My goodness, you know what? And National Court of Sales and team building go together. If you're doing one, you can easily do another because you're going to have enough faces coming out of Court of Sales to do enough interviews. Basically, though, let's just look at it this way. To do National Court of Sharing with 24 qualified recruits in the year, let's say you want to get 24 recruits and you have a 1 out of 5 average, you can talk to your director about that, that when you talk to 5 people, 1 will get qualified or whatever way you want to look at it. That means you're going to interview or share facts with 100 in the year. And that means it's about 25 to 30 and a quarter. Or it also means monthly you're going to share information about Mary Kay. Now I'm talking not, do you want to do Mary Kay? Okay, next. Do you want to do Mary Kay? Not that, but explaining the marketing plan by your director, whatever method she wants you or has you use, a recruiting notebook, papers, a 3-way calls, whatever. And that 8 to 10 a month, that's doable for you. It could be 2 to 3 sharing appointments a week, and that's doable for you to get 1 to 2 or 2 team members a month. So all this is broken down, and that's what you want to take is your goals and break them down with a SMART formula and the fact that when you break it down, the studies show that short-term goals are way more motivating than long-term goals. Now, long-term goals sound good, and they're exciting, and that's on stage, and that's all that kind of stuff. However, they don't move you to action in the morning. You have to have a goal broken down to move you to action, and that's what's important. Okay, so we got that. We're just going to finish up here with a couple things. One of the things, after you get your goal and you break it down and you want to share it with your director, we did what we call the third part of our workshop, and we had everybody get together in groups, and they had to come up with their best ideas for time and space organization. Because you could have the best plans in the world, and you are a disorganized bundle of mess, okay? Or you don't have the time planned out properly. And here's what some of the things that people came up with for time organization. Plan your day backwards. Tomorrow, if you work all day at another job, your Johnny has to go somewhere to lessons after school, and then you have dinner on the table, and then you have another couple kids, and then you have a skincare class tomorrow night or a party. The night before you go to bed, what's the first thing you do? You get your class ready and get it packed and by the door. You plan backwards. The next thing is you think about what you're having for dinner. And one of the big things they come up with is doing bulk meal planning. Like if you're going to make spaghetti sauce, make enough to freeze 6 of them so that you can have 1 a week for 6 weeks or whatever. Or if you make other kinds of food that you can freeze that you're not constantly, that is, if you feed the kids and the husband, they're happy. There's something about food and clean towels and underwear that makes everybody happy. So you got to plan that, and you know it's just as easy to mess up the whole kitchen and make spaghetti for one meal. It's the same amount of mess. It's the same amount of shopping time as to make it in bulk. So those kinds of things. They also said get up early, do your 6 most important things list, don't procrastinate, use a weekly plan sheet. Make a separate time for calls, get out of the house and meet people, put on a do not disturb sign on your door, delegate, 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 use a wow book or a brain book. Always have your calendar with you. For space organization, be organized. Learn from someone who's organized. Copycat organization. Diane Underwood, National Sales Director, was very disorganized and said that she had to learn how to work numbers and plan, and she learned that from other people. That is awesome, and look at her. It certainly helped, and so she took all her lovely people skills and so forth and combined that with stuff she learned from people as far as organization and became this amazing national. Okay, shelving, get rid of clutter. If you don't, here's another thing, look at it. If you don't think you, don't make a decision about everything. Don't throw it away if you're not sure about it because decisions take too much time. Throw it in a basket, put it either way somewhere in a closet, and if you don't, and then in 6 months get it out and pull out the important stuff. I bet you don't need half of it. Handle paper only once. Open your mail, throw most of it away. Have organization type bins and folders and things like that. Okay, so of course you want to use all those things. And what happens, though, what can interfere with us? I think we came up with some things like that interfere. Snow days here in the Northeast, snow days in the winter, things can interfere with you. Kids get sick, all these different things. And so if you're super planned, if you know, okay, so today you didn't get to do your one or two faces, you didn't get to do your $100 day, but you are booked, and there's a thing called, we did in our unit, we always do, it's called the Friday check. Always have on Friday 10 to 15 appointments on your books coming up in the next 10 days or so, 10 days to 2 weeks, that you have booked, because then you're employed. If you don't, and the one little facial you had booked tomorrow cancels, then you're constantly starting over. So you need to think of ways to get people and bookings and tell everybody. I think the most amazing goal would be, I am in a huge goal right now with Mary Kay. I'm doing 100 faces in the next 100 days. And say, and if I do it a couple times this year, I'm going to win the most gorgeous diamond ring. And so you just keep telling people that. I'm in a goal to do this. Could you be one of my 100 faces? And you could even do some photos before and after. Of course, Melinda, I love that. I've seen people win cars doing 30 in a month and taking their picture. And that leads to lots of bookings. So think of ways to keep your books filled. And there are two books out there that are really good. One is called The Slight Edge, and one is called Eat That Frog. The Slight Edge is telling you to do a little bit every day. It's easy to do a little bit of different things every day, even things that would be easy not to do. So that's called The Slight Edge. And Eat That Frog, the whole idea is if you do the thing you don't want to do most at the beginning of the day, you will, if you eat a live frog at the beginning of the day, everything else is going to be easy, is what he says. So I kind of skimmed through the last, but I want to leave you with an assignment, is to create a year-long goal poster. But this poster has to be something. It could be the front of a binder or something on your wall. Passionate. Remember back to the beginning. What is the real inside reason that you want? And there's nothing wrong with recognition and being on stage and being valued and respected by your peers. There is nothing wrong with that. But also include what a great personal growth you're going to experience. When I started Mary Kay, before Mary Kay, I had gone to Penn State. I failed speech. I couldn't speak in front of anybody. It is so weird. Penn State, how many years of school could do nothing with me as far as confidence and fear in front of people? Within a few years of Mary Kay, I was speaking at conferences in front of 2,000 people. So there's the personal growth cannot be underestimated in this company if you just stick with it and keep going. And I'm going to go ahead and open it up, but you want to take your goal poster and show it to your director, okay? Hello?
Hello?
Anybody have any questions?
I'd just like to say thank you.
Hey. Yeah, I think we ran a little bit over, but I knew it was a long, long workshop. So anyway, well, thank you. So anybody else have anything?
Connie, I have a question.
Okay.
The number four secret, I got number three, but I couldn't write fast enough to get four right
okay,
in there.
Okay, let me go back here.
Okay.
Okay, hold on one second. Number two, is this my goal? Is it your choice?
Uh-huh.
Number three is interest and value. Number four is negative competition. Beware of negative competition.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Connie, this is Julie Danskin.
Hi, Julie.
I just wanted to tell you, this was so great to listen to. You're so genius, and I love how you took a lot of, I'm sure, very highbrow research and turned it into something that's just right on for our business. So it was just masterful. Thank you. I just really enjoyed listening.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
After Slide Edge, what did you say?
Oh, Eat That Frog. These are like really, like, you know what? You have stuff laying around your house to read, or you want to skip that TV show. This is the stuff you want to fill your head with.
Oh, okay.
It's easy reading. It's not really heavy duty, but it gets to the point. In other words, eat a live frog in the morning. Everything else is going to be easy. Sometimes we don't do the hard thing in the morning, and there it is again the next morning looking at us, you know. Okay? Get your goal posters ready, and we're excited. And listen, break that down, and hey, start out by selling $100 today, and you'll be getting on track there. And if you've lost a little bit of time, we're so excited because this is still July, and we can make up for it. And honestly, the real trick is you make a plan to do 100 faces in every quarter. Oh my gosh, you will have fabulous miracles happening in your business. So. Have a great year, you guys. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.